Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, brothers and sisters, and welcome to Charlotte Christian Fellowship broadcast. My name is John Davis, and I'm the co-host of this broadcast, and the host, of course, is our Holy Spirit. And we welcome you guys tonight so we can share the Word of God. Before I was got on the broadcast tonight, I was talking to the Spirit, to our Father, and he was saying, the Word of God, it tells us what we need to hear, not just what we want to hear. And it's one of those things where we can, there's a lot of people who typically get air with the ministry. When you go to church, you say, I need to hear that. But is it really what you needed to hear, or is it what you wanted to hear? Because the Word of God, and we go back and listen to 2 Timothy, we're talking about what the Word of God actually does. And the Word of God is the Holy Spirit. And a lot of people confuse that. They want to separate the two. You can't separate God and the Son, and you can't separate the Holy Spirit from the Father or from the Son. They are one. And that's why I said when we baptize people, we baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Welcome tonight. Tonight, brothers and sisters, we're going to continue the last part of Zach. There's something else I ran into, Brother Zach, about discipleship, because this mission that this ministry has is one, and only one. The goal and the one and only mission that this ministry has is to make disciples of all nations. And in order to do that, we can only, myself and anybody else who's listening, only the Holy Spirit can teach us everything. But and the Bible says that he'll teach us everything about Jesus. But us, we don't know everything. We're part of the body. And that's why the broadcast that I have here is for everybody that you'd like to call in and participate, because you're part of the same body. And don't let the lying spirit tell you, well, I don't want to talk on the radio. Let me tell you like this. It's not a whole bunch of people on the line, but the thing is, the ones who hear the Word of God, let them have ears, let them hear. And that's what this is about. So before we get started, I do want to pray in the name of Jesus. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to help me in everything that I say and do, the God of my heart and my mind, that I will only tell his truth, that I would be, won't think about who I see and who I don't see, but give his word, that the people would be encouraged by his word as we talk and share the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he would be glorified and that we would, the word would encourage somebody to change their ways and actually get a chance to know who he is. And we start off tonight by saying, we're talking about God. So, who is God to you? Who is God? And what is he to you? That's a question a lot of us don't, we say it, you know, God bless you, and you know, somebody sneezes and somebody leaves and God bless you, you know, somebody come back sick, God bless you. Somebody don't have their needs met, God bless you. But the thing is, do we know who he is? We say it because this is what the world, as far as the world say, they know, they call him the Lord. He is Lord. He's Lord over everything. Even the devil knows he's Lord, but they don't do what he says. Okay? He's also called the Creator. And those are the people who don't want to admit Jesus our Lord and Savior. They say the Creator, you know? But then you very seldom hear them say the Creator, but the Son is the Father, and the Son is his Son, Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is his Word. But they'll say the Creator. But the thing is, they won't say who the Creator is. See, and this, what we're doing is identifying who God is and who he is to you. Jesus said this. He is our Father. Now, again, the same question asked in the beginning, I'm asked again. Who is God and who is he to you? You see, the prayer of a righteous man avails much. When we pray and call on his name, are we calling on someone who's fictional character to you, or somebody you don't really believe? Or are you calling on your Father? who has brought you this far and said in his word, he didn't bring you this far to leave you? Are you calling on your father who sent his son to save your soul? Are you calling on your father because he is Lord over everything? Are you calling on your father for your needs to be met? Not your greed, but your need. See, our Father who is in heaven is worthy to be praised. Our Father who is in heaven loved us so much that he sent his son, his only son, to come in this world and die for us. Now, when I say that, what does that actually mean? He came and died for us? What does that mean? What good is dying for us if you don't know the premise behind it? The death that he did, he came to die and take our sins away, because it's our sins, our wickedness deserves death because it's sinful. So the sin death, Jesus was the only one to be able to reconcile us back to God by dying and taking our sins away. When he died, he took our sins away. But in order for your sins to be taken away, you have to believe that he did do exactly that. You have to believe that he's God, he has a son, and his name was Jesus, and that Jesus came and died and took your sins away. See, it's for you to say, I'm going to heaven, and don't believe that, then you really believe it in a false God. You believe it in some man-made religion that they're preaching in a lot of churches. But it's a personal thing. I want to say this, and I want y'all to understand this. There's only one way to heaven. That's through Jesus Christ. And if you don't believe in who he is, then you can't go. It's simple as that. Jesus said, I am the truth, the light, and the way. His disciples actually said, Lord, where are you going? And he said, well, he told them, well, I'm going, you can't go right now. And they said, well, where are you going? And he said, well, you can follow me. And how you follow me? By doing what I say do. That's a disciple doing with it. Not only listening, but doing. Okay? So if we want to be these disciples, and I'm going to let you listen to something a little bit later concerning exactly what I'm saying. But a lot of people out here doing evangelizing work. There's nothing wrong with that. Please understand that. There's two parts. You first got to get out there and evangelize, and then once you get them, to hear the word, not hope, but to hear the word, and they believe what you're saying, and they confess, like in Romans 9:10, they confess, then you want to get them in and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, then teach them, okay, to do all that God has taught us, okay, not what you know, but what the Bible tells. So they can only follow you as you follow in Christ. So therefore, if you're a babe in Christ, you can introduce them to Christ and to where you at. But if you're on a hill going 5,000 feet and you're at 5 feet and you fall just messing with it at 5 inches, you can help them get to your 5 feet. But you can't help them get to 25 feet or 5,000 because you ain't been there. See? So a lot of people are teaching something that they ain't been, so they're talking about somebody's testimony. Your own testimony. Do your part. There are many parts, but just do your part. Don't try to be more than what we are. Don't think we're more than what we is. Don't even try it. Just be ourselves. God created us for that one reason, that one purpose, to be used in that one specific time. And that, as I get to reading and tell us what the Lord gave me this morning, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Last week, we talked about the difference between the law. We know the law, because nobody keep the law. That's why Jesus had to come, because the law identified our sin. But as you read all the Ten Commandments, we couldn't keep them. So God said he loved us so much, he identified our sins through the law of Moses. But then Jesus came, he went up on the mount and sent down the new commandments, the love and the grace that goes along with God's word, which is healing, not death. The sins were identified, but didn't go anywhere. So because we couldn't fulfill them, we couldn't. They kept on slaughtering animals who called sin debts for animals. And you have people, priests and stuff, who went before God once a year, and they'll sacrifice so many animals. Well, Jesus said sacrifice once and for all, for those in the past, that's in the present, and for our children in the future. See, that's the Jesus. That's the, when you accept the sacrifice, that sin sacrifice for our sins, you get the benefits. The salvation is your benefits, and one day you'll be with him. Okay? So that's the law. Again, the law is not bad, but it does identify our sins, which leads to death. Then we talked about the Holy Spirit being up on us. The Holy Spirit up on us is like David, for example. The we just talked about Moses, Abraham. The Holy Spirit was on him, and the reason, the difference between being up on us and in us, the Holy Spirit in us fills us, and then it identifies in us what is wrong with us and it teaches us. The up on us, it guides us and it leads us, but it doesn't cleanse us. Because if it will cleanse us, then, like, for example, I start with Abraham. Abraham had the Holy Spirit on him. He followed God from the beginning and said, you know, go out there, take your family and leave your family, you leave your daddy behind and go, and I'll be with you. What did he do? One of the things he did was gave his wife up to Pharaoh, inside the house of Pharaoh. So what happens to that belief that inside that God's with you? You see? So the doubt came, and so he had to, God didn't leave him because God delivered him out of that. And he was with you when he came out, you know, from Egypt, then when he went in. As far as, not him, but I mean his wife, and they went to Egypt because it was a famine. They had nothing to eat, nothing to drink. So they went to Egypt so they could survive. And at the time, Pharaoh seen his wife, seen Abraham's wife, whoa. But remember something, too. This is how God is. God had this woman, she was about, I think, 65, 70, something like that. And the man seen her, said, whoa, I ain't seen a woman this beautiful before. 65-year-old. And remember something, in the wilderness, we're talking about the desert. The desert with the wind and dry and the blow off on your face. But yet this woman's so beautiful. This man seen a woman from the desert. You know, from the desert, y'all. I'm talking about dirt and stuff blowing wind all the time, all in your head, all that stuff. And the woman was still the most beautiful thing he ever seen. That's how God keeps us. And so when they went there and stuff, he took her as his wife, but God was with Abraham, and he was with Sarah. And because God looked at Abraham's heart, the repentance heart, he dealt with Pharaoh. He gave them a disease to the whole nation. Pharaoh realized, hold on, I didn't know she was your wife. Take your wife and you get up out here and everything, and then I'm going to give you some of this to take, you know, take with you. You know, the monies and mules and all that stuff he gave, because when he got Sarah, he paid for Sarah. But he kept giving more and more gifts. That's why I'm so beautiful. So the thing is, though, when he left all those things he gave Abraham, because Abraham now was super rich. He was super rich. Him and his son, he had so much stuff. Lot got a whole bunch of stuff. And so that's when you hear about, you know, they got so much stuff they had to separate and stuff. So that's another story. We're just going to stick with it now, the Holy Spirit up on you. Okay? Just like with David, the same thing. David was a child way back when Saul was a king. And God took the Spirit, God's Spirit left him, and God sent him an evil spirit. The Holy Spirit was up on Saul. But the Holy Spirit left Saul. Okay? And so when God took his Holy Spirit and put it up on David, because when Samuel went, which is the prophet, which said, well, God's going to put the, you know, going to get a new king, because Saul was so, you know, raunchy and doing the wrong things and worshiping other gods and then disobedient and stuff like that, that God took the Spirit, took his Spirit and put it up on David. Now, David had the Holy Spirit upon him. But remember what David did. A man after God's own heart. That's what the Bible said. David seen a woman, another man's wife, when he became king, another man's wife, Bathsheba. What did he do? Lust after her. Called her over there. However, the Bible says they had sex down the road. He killed, because her husband was one of his soldiers. He actually had the man killed so he could take the man's wife. Okay? God punished him. Remember the baby, David's baby, and stuff like that, the baby did not live, that first baby. But the second baby did, which is Solomon. Okay? So God deals with sin. Okay? Again, the Holy Spirit was on David, not in David. Okay? So we have a number of people in the Old Testament, and even in the New Testament. In the book of Acts, you actually hear about, have you received the Holy Spirit? So now we've heard about the Holy Spirit, then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit upon you and in you are two entirely different things. So we talk about three things now that God put out from the Old Testament and the last time in the New Testament. And that matter of fact, that's one of the reasons they killed Jesus, the laws, okay? Because they felt that he, you know, would change their ways, their traditions, because he taught freedom. Same thing with Paul. He got beat down and all the disciples because they followed Christ, okay? And so we want you to know the Holy Spirit comes to, when the law identifies sin, the Holy Spirit upon us, covers us, but the Holy Spirit in us changes us. Okay, and as change comes forth, then we begin to act like Christ, because that's what the Holy Spirit changes to be like him. Our minds are renewed, and as they're renewed, and people get, well, the things that come out of our mouth, just like Christ, when he talked to those leaders, they offended him because of the truth that he was sharing. The truth he shares is God's word. God's word, the people in this world over here do not receive God's word. The Bible actually said, name one prophet that these Pharisees and religious leaders did not kill. They killed them off. So as we begin to study this word tonight, I want y'all to know that the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is our advocate. Now, I don't want to go too fast. I want y'all to understand what we're talking about. An advocate is somebody who represents you. Now, who's he representing? He ain't representing you to the world. He represents us to God. Okay? Our advocate. Jesus is our advocate. The Holy Spirit, Jesus, is the advocate, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is Christ. Christ is God. Those three are one. So the Holy Spirit, Christ said, I'm leaving, but I'm sending you a helper, the advocate. The advocate will go ahead, and what he does is he lets the Lord, you know, is representing us, to helping us to know who Christ is, first of all. And then he's speaking for us. Then, you know, let him keep the line connection going. I was listening to some of the scriptures earlier today. And one of the demonstrations that they gave, like a tree with an orange, okay? And like the orange, like on a branch and stuff. Jesus said he's a tree, and like he's a vine. And so example is like, and we can't do nothing, but, you know, apart from him. So on this tree, the branch, which is us, hanging out and bear fruit. And so you say, well, how come this fruit is so beautiful on this tree? You ask the branch. Well, the branch can tell you, I ain't did nothing. I'm connected to the tree. We can't say we did anything. We connected to Christ. All this good work that we do is connected to him. The juice from the Lord, the Holy Spirit, the advocate that flows to us from him, is allowing us to become and do the work of the Lord. That's the fruit. And other people are hearing it, and then they want to be like him, because of our testimony, which is from the Holy Spirit cleansing us and representing the words that we're saying no longer is the words of our own from the world, but there's now a life-giving words that people are changing from their old self and sinful ways, and changing into being like Christ. This is a work that the Father has allowed us to, he has chosen us to do. So, before we go any further, let's remind you one thing. What 2 Timothy says, and I'll read the whole thing later, but I just want to highlight some things. What the Holy Spirit says, he says like this. He says, the Holy Spirit teaches us. Jesus' word, the Holy Spirit teaching us Jesus' word, okay? It teaches us what is true and makes us realize what is wrong in our lives. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He's our teacher. The Holy Spirit is with us tonight. As I told y'all before, I'm the co-host, and I'm the host is the Holy Spirit. Okay? He helps us. He helps us watch what we do and helps us do, help us not to sin in what we say. That's real big, y'all. Because a lot of us say things that ain't true. Lying, to get our way, arguing, you know. So the Holy Spirit helps us to do, you know, to curb that action in our tongue. And it's a rough tongue, buddy. We know we got a rough tongue. The same blessings come out of cursing them, blessings come out of our mouths. And I mean anger. But that's how, Lord, he blesses us and don't give up on us. And so that's what the Holy Spirit does. He teaches us and guides us and identifies those things. He reminds us of how brief our time here on earth really is. It's like, you know, and our days are numbered. Don't be thinking you're going to live forever. You don't know when we're going to die. Nobody do. Okay? The Lord makes our life no longer than the width of our hand. And look at your hand. We're talking spiritual things. Look at your hand. That's how long the life is compared to the Lord. It's like a blink of an eye, a puff of wind. That's what how long our life is. Our entire life is just like a moment to God. At best, each of us is like a breath. That's what the Word of God says. We are merely moving shadows, and our busy rushing ends up in nothing. All the things we're rushing around, doing this and that, trying to, I got to hurry, I got to do this, I got to do that. It ends up in nothing. Let me tell you what else he says. He says, we heap up wealth, not even knowing who's going to spend it. We get rich, we die. You know, they squander the money. The government, they don't care. We don't know who's going to spend it. Our only hope is in our Lord Jesus. Plead to him to rescue us from our rebellion. Hear our prayer, Father. Listen to our cries. Help us. Don't ignore our tears. We are your guests, traveling, passing through this world, just as our ancestors did. That's those are Psalms, y'all, 31, 1, 4, 8, and 12. Have we committed spiritual adultery? That's a question. Have we? Take it personal. Have you, have I, committed spiritual adultery? Yes, you have too, because we sin every day. We sin every day, y'all. So don't think we're not committed spiritual adultery. And so let me break it down to you like that. Do we understand and know what that means? This is what God says it means when we disobey him. Do we obey God all the time? If you do, if you say you do all the time, you're a liar. Because then you told God he's a liar because we sin. And in sin, we are committing spiritual adultery. In other words, when we sin, that's spiritual adultery. Okay? When we worship idols, people, places, things, that's spiritual adultery, y'all. That is spiritual adultery. Let's say it again. When we worship people, places, or things. Or idol worship. What's idol? Those cars and, you know, your wives or your husbands or your children. They can be idols. Your home. Your possessions. They can be idols. You can say what you want to say, but when you talk about another, you're worshiping idols. It's spiritual adultery. Those are things God created. And you're not worshiping the creator, but the creations. That's spiritual adultery. When we worship these places, people, or things, that's spiritual adultery. And we are being unfaithful to God. That is Isaiah 57. We're talking about spiritual adultery. Let's give honor to God and stop being unfaithful and committing spiritual adultery, because the time is coming for the wedding feast of the Lamb. And us, who is his bride, who he has prepared for himself. Let me say that again, y'all. The time is coming. She's coming back for his bride. We the bride. He's our husband. He's coming back for his bride. This is spiritual term, if you don't understand. Because I remember when I was coming up in the spirit, and talking about, you're a woman, man. You, Jesus is going to marry you. Because people turned me off of Christ when they said that, but he's referring to, and this is spiritual terms, he's coming back because he actually calls us brothers and sisters and children of God. So the bride is the representation of a man and a woman. The two shall become one. We're going to become one with Christ. He's coming back to get us because he's paying us for this. So don't let nobody tell you that you're a woman because you're Christ's bride. That's the foolishness that's been taught. And they're talking about, well, this side, a lot of the ministry saying, well, he's saying bride, so you could be a man could be a woman and a woman could be a man. That's a lie, y'all. Don't listen to that false gospel. I'm telling you, the bride is his disciples, the people who is a representation of God to two becoming one. That's what it is. We're coming back and we're going to be like him. So if you're not his bride, then the same thing. I'm giving an example. Washing the feet. Jesus said, well, if I don't wash your feet, you can't follow me. And then Peter said, well, you'll never wash my feet. What Christ is referring to, he was demonstrating his servant. He was demonstrating that the greatest must be the least. Because he came to wash our feet because there's the dirty and nastiest things out there. Because they didn't have no soap and water where they could wash their feet all the time. So he took his robe off and washed their feet. But he came to get them. He said he came to heaven, from heaven, down here to get us and showed us how to go about serving. So he said, now what I'm doing, you do too. So how do we wash them by the feet without actually doing it in a spiritual manner? Humble ourselves. Take cloak. We don't know all the answers. Therefore, even know the answer, we don't have to always be, you know, try to be the right one. Take the low part that Christ did. But people see that the servant's heart, and God will make it out. The Holy Spirit in us will go ahead, then the people see our hearts. They see God in us, and then they will want to know, why did you do that? They get a chance, opportunity to share the gospel with them. But if you stay strong and stiff-necked, you know, and they talk about like them Pharisees here, and all of them, you know, want to be, well, I'm this and I'm that. Let me tell you something. God don't get no glory. And then you turn the people from Christ, and your blood be on your hand, okay? So, again, I say to you, because the time is coming, you know, Christ is coming to get back his people, which is us, we have been given and you're going to love this. We're going to get some linen. This linen represents the purity, the white linen that Christ puts upon the people, his bride, okay? In other words, the blood of Christ washed all our sins, but it's like a white linen. That's what it refers to, okay? And so it represents our good deeds. The blood, because down here we'll be going to God's work, okay? Faith without works are dead. So the good deeds and stuff, we do that white linen, but God gives us for the time, but the peace is going to happen. We'll all be dressed and look just like him because the good deeds is all Christ did when he was here. So since we're going to look like him, he's going to put his cloak on us, which is the white linen, and it shows that all the good deeds he did through the Holy Spirit. You see, so all this working together. Revelation 19:7. God hates divorce, human and spiritual. So when people talk about, well, they get divorced from one to another, I'm saying this to you in love. God hates divorce. He hates spiritual divorce, and he hates human divorce. This is what God says. He sent Christ in the world, okay, not to judge it, but to save the world from him, save the world through him. In other words, if he wanted to divorce, we had opportunity to divorce us during the law because we all sin. So he could separate us because we're all sinners, okay? And even today, if you're not accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're under the law. There's nowhere around it, okay? Just you divorce yourself from Christ, okay? This is not a judgment against anyone who believes in him, though, okay? So, again, I say to you, when Jesus came to the world to save us, you know, he didn't come to judge us, but he came to save the world, okay? And so then he said, but for anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing the God, not believing in God, the one and only Son. Now, I'll say it to you again. Let me say it again to y'all. God loved the world so much, he sent Christ in the world to reconcile us back to him. Okay, because we were sinners and adultery. And those who believed in him confessed our sins, and he forgave our sins, and we reconciled to him, and he gave us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit then teaches us in our lives what is wrong in our lives and stuff like that. But we can then go ahead and stop doing the wrong things and become to do the right things and give him honor and glory for what he has done. But for those who refuse to accept that forgiveness, they're being judged, y'all. They're already been judged. Not down the road, not when the books are open, but right now. Just like right now, God can say, look here, this is not heaven or hell. What on earth are you making it for you? Wherever you're going, you're starting right here. You're starting right here. So even sick, you could be sick and still receive Christ. It don't mean you're not going to heaven. You could die with this COVID and still die. You could die with a bullet. There's many ways you could die. It don't mean you're not going to hell because you die. The thing is, what you're doing now makes a difference the next second if you're going to live. If you die right now, that's the question. It goes back to the original question. Do you know God and who is he to you? That's the question. So if you die right now, who is God to you? Is he God? Is he far off or is he your father? If you don't have kids, let me tell you something. Or if you have a father, let me tell you something. Your father, your child falls on the ground. Your little baby falls on the ground. You're going to reach out to that baby real quick. Because we're precious in your eyes. Same thing we are to Christ. It's the same thing to God, but we're precious in his sight. So when we talk about, well, we don't know who he is and we ain't going to do that, we ain't going to do that, we're committing spiritual adultery. Same thing with the flesh, though. You know, saying? The flesh life is worse than that because the first life is on that point where we're going to die one day. But the divorce God hates, he hates spiritual adultery, and he hates just as much people divorcing themselves. Because when God put together, let no man undo. And I'm not saying it's not an easy thing that, you know, to go through some things that, you know, husband and wife go through, because that hurts. I'm not going to lie to you. Yeah, it hurts. But check this out. There was a man inside the Bible who married a prostitute. Had babies by the dude while they was married. And God still will not let the dude divorce her. So I don't care how hard it gets to you. God actually had the man go pay her pimp to get her back. So don't think that you're going to something that ain't been done. God is God, y'all. God ain't no joke. And he goes way out the way to save us, to come and get us. And I'm telling you something. And if you can't stand it, can't bear, lean on the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is our comforter. Okay? Then what I'm referring to when I say anyone who does not believe in him, believe in Jesus, has already been judged for not believing in Jesus. That's John 3:17-18. Unless people stop being spiritual adulterers, they will never enter the kingdom of God. In other words, don't say you ain't, because the Bible says you is. So we got to stop doing it. And if we don't stop doing it, I'm going to tell you like this. The outcome is hell. Tonight, again, we said we're going to go with Bill, you know, listen to Bill Jackson more. We're going to do that in a couple of minutes, okay? But I want y'all to know that if you're listening on the Internet, on Facebook or something, you're listening, and you want to join talking with us, you got to call this number. It's 657-383-1624. Again, the number is 657-383-1624. Also, feel free to visit our website at charlottechristianfellowship.org. I want y'all to know that this ministry is a 501c3 ministry. It's a nonprofit church. And like Jesus, we receive no salary. That's right. There's no salary to y'all. We don't play that. Okay? All our tithes and offerings that we receive in this ministry go directly, I didn't say around the route, I said directly to those in need and the administrative upkeep. In other words, like we have to pay for this internet, you know, this thing like that. But other than that, because our website that we have, that we live at, this free, including the rent. But to make sure we got internet service, we got our own internet service that we pay for once a month to make sure that we can talk on the phone and talk to our brothers and sisters and disciples and stuff through the internet. So we have our own separate service, separate from the one we have here. Okay, and this ministry's one and only goal is one thing, and one thing only, y'all. Let me say it again. This ministry's goal and one and only mission is to make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And to teach the new disciples to obey all the commandments Jesus has given us through reading his word and through his Holy Spirit. So I don't know what else y'all are doing, whatever you have, your funds and, you know, giving to, you know, the ministry, church, you're going to all that, but God willing, I'm not telling anybody to leave the church. I'm not telling anybody to give any funds to any ties off to this ministry either. But I'm telling you like this. Whenever you give, make sure you're giving unto the Lord. Pray before you do anything. Ask the Lord where, you know, what you wanted to do with your tithes and offer. Because this ministry here, we have two ministries that we support constantly. One of them is, I know you guys heard about the war-torn in Africa, the war-torn widows over there and the orphans. We have a ministry we deal directly with, and about every two months. The monies that offers do come in, we send it out to them. And we also have, and I can tell you right now, my wife has a, inside this ministry here, started Charlotte Christian Fellowship, we have a ministry, she's teaching tonight, a Disciple Me for women, okay? And that's just, like I said, we have our own website because we need to be able to not be interrupted. Sometimes it does it anyway, but we still do it. But we have a Disciple Me. And so to run into a lot of mothers here that need food or something like that or some type of need rent, but whatever the need is and we have it, they come in this ministry, we give out. And without fun, my wife and I both retired, so out of our income, we continue to pay the ministry, you know, not pay the ministry, but support the ministry by the upkeep and of this website and, you know, the phones and stuff of that nature. And the internet, but we also tie it into this ministry also and other ministries also to make sure that the word gets out. Okay, COVID ain't got nothing on God, and he's a provider to us, and so the funds that we have, we give it to the ministry in order to advance his kingdom. Okay, and you're more than welcome to do so. I'm not asking anybody to give, but if you would like to give, you know where it's going when it comes in this ministry. It's going to the needy, not to the greedy. You can also use the link below, and I think some of you are on it right now, you know, to join the broadcast. It's www.blogtalkradio.com, and that's Charlotte Christian Fellowship. Okay? Let me see it. So, again, now we're not mentioning Life on a Certain Journey anymore because that Life on a Certain Journey is something that she does every week. But the discipleship goes on there. That's when you want to call that number here for discipleship only. And you'll find out that Tuesday nights, she's talking about different subjects concerning women's lives and the lives of sisters and stuff to going through. And that number, when you want to call it, is 929-477-3427. It is a walk of life. It's what are you doing? We're making disciples. That's period. Making disciples. And so the men's is on Wednesday nights, and women's is on Tuesday nights. Again, remember, you can all scriptures is inspired by God and is used to teach us what is true and what is true, and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. Okay, so I just want y'all to know that. So as I said before, we're going to let Zach come on in here and do a little teaching for the last course, but I got another little treat. I forgot a little time here to do it for you, and so we're going to start this right now so you can hear
it. As Paul said, follow me and then follow Christ. Don't try to imitate Paul's gift according to your gift, and let it be said about you, you did what you could. Not you did what Paul could, or you did what Zach Poonen could. No, you can't. I can't do what Paul could do. No, and I don't even try to. She has done what she could. Zach has done what he could. That's what the Lord says. And you have done what you could. That's all he expects from you. That's a great comfort for me to know that. Don't ever compare yourself with another brother or sister in the church. You know, sometimes you sisters can go to somebody's home and you find that home is kept so neat and tidy. Maybe because they don't have any children. When you have so many children, you can't keep your home neat and tidy. Don't get discouraged. It's good to be neat and tidy, but that is not the most important thing. Godliness is more important. And if you have done what you could and your home is still in a mess, the Lord is happy. He'll be happy in your home. Don't ever compare yourself with anybody else. Let this word liberate you. You did what you could. That's what the Lord says. It liberated me. That beautiful verse in Mark 14. He did what he could. And so all my life, once I got liberated like that, I say, Lord, I'm not a great preacher. No, I don't want to be one. I'm not interested in any reputation to be a preacher or a Bible teacher or any such thing. Zero. I'm going to spend my life doing what I could. And it's not much I can do, but I'll do what little I can. And when I do that, I find God blesses it. First of all, I'm not in competition with a single human being in the world. I'm trying to give you an example. Be like that. Don't be in competition with any other brother in your church or anyone anywhere else in the world. Don't try to prove you're a better elder or a better brother or a better sister or you're a better father or see how I brought up my children. Please, please, you will ruin yourself. To show yourself off and see what a great father I've been, a great mother I've been. There are believers like that. They destroy themselves. I'll never do that. I'll tell people I made a lot of mistakes as a father, and I repented of it. God has been merciful to my children. They're following the Lord. But I will not boast about it. Impossible. God has been tremendously merciful to us. I did what I could, and God doesn't expect you to do more than you could. This is the life of helpless dependence on the tree, a life of faith. Discipleship means just this. I've opened every part of that inner, inside the branch, every channel, so that all the sap flows in. See, you look at the conditions of discipleship in Luke 14. We're talking about discipleship and faith. From the branch, I'll tell you. Discipleship means every channel inside the branch is open for the sap to flow. Faith means I helplessly depend on the tree, say, I can't do anything without you. I want your life to flow through me. So in Luke 14, there are three conditions of discipleship. We've often spoken about them in CFC. Number one, verse 26, you've got to love God, love Jesus more than your father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, and your own life. In other words, Jesus must be supreme in your life. Why does he use the word hatred? Hate your father and mother. There are many places where it says, love your father and mother, love your wife, like Christ in the church. And here it says, hate your wife. You've got to compare scripture with scripture. In other words, in comparison with your love for Jesus, your love for your earthly relatives must be almost like hatred. Give me an example. You must love your father, mother, brother, sister, wife, children, but compare that to the light of the stars. I love my parents like the stars. I love my wife like the stars. I love my children like the stars. Is there light in the stars? Yes. That's my love for the family members and my brothers and sisters in the church. And I love all that. But then when the sun comes up in the morning, the stars don't disappear. You can't see them. That's all. You know that in the daytime. The stars are still there. But you can't see them. And so when the love for Jesus Christ comes up like the sun, I still love my parents, but I still love my wife, and I still love my children and my brothers and sisters, but I can't see that. That's what this word hate means. So in other words, love for Christ is so taken up, the light of the sun is so bright that these other things disappear. That's the way we must love Jesus. That's discipleship. And secondly, he said in verse 27, you've got to die to yourself every single day. Take up your cross. That means whenever you come to a situation any day where your choice or God's choice, you say, Lord, I give up my choice. Self will not be on my throne. Christ will be on my throne. I'll always think in terms of, will this glorify Jesus Christ? Not whether what I feel about it. Oh, it says, do all for the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. I want to do everything for the glory of God. And the third condition of discipleship is verse 33. I've got to give up what I possess. Possess is what I hold on to tight. Oh, this is mine. I'm not going to give it up. I want to hold on to it. what should I do? I must open my palm and say, Lord, I'm not going to hold on to that. It's so tight anymore. No, it's yours. I'm not going to hold on to it. But if you want, you can take it. I'm not going to hold on to it. That's giving out my foot. In other words, I'm not possessing it anymore. I have it, but I don't possess it. I have it, but I don't possess it. That's how we are to give up our possessions. It doesn't mean I have to sell all that I have. It just means I give up what, give to the Lord what I'm holding in a possessive way. That's discipleship. But that's good for us. Because if I let the Lord take care of it, it's like putting your money in the bank. They take care of it instead of keeping it under your pillow. Angels to keep it under your pillow. Thief may come and take it. Your children may steal it. Put it in the bank. So I say, Lord, I'm not going to keep my hand. I'm going to lose it. I give it to you. I don't possess it. But it's still in my name. So it's the discipleship is that, opening every part of the inside of the branch. Say, Lord, it's all yours. I will not have any blockage inside. And then the life of helpless, that's discipleship. And the life of helpless dependence. Lord, I can do nothing without you. That's faith. Faith is, Lord, I want to lean on you for every single thing. It's a wonderful thing. You know, it says, oh, what peace we often forfeit. You know that song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. So much of worry and care. Because we don't take everything to God in prayer. The branch does not have a worry or a fear or a concern. And when it produces wonderful fruit, it doesn't boast about it. Do you find yourself get tempted to boast about where you accomplish something wonderful and people praise you? Oh, what a wonderful thing that was, brother. You will never take the credit for it. If you are like the branch in the tree. You say, I didn't do that. The sap flowed from the tree and the fruit came. I don't know how. This is the spirit-filled life. This is the life of discipleship, faith, helpless dependence upon God. It's a wonderful life. I'll tell you, from the years that I've experienced it, and the older I get, and the more I come to know the Lord, and the more I come to know this life of discipleship and helpless dependence, it's exciting. And what about my earthly needs? God provides them all without any effort. I tell you, you won't have to live with a single fear or anxiety. You'll be careful, sure. I'm very careful in the way I live. I'm very careful in handling money. I'm very careful about my speech. I'm careful about everything, but not worried and anxious. Dear brothers and sisters, seek to be like this. Let me conclude. Discipleship is opening every block channel inside you. You're the branch in the tree. No channel is blocked. Everything is open. Lord, I love you more than my parents. I love you more than my wife, children, everything. I love you more than my job. I love you more than staying in the Gulf. I love you more than my bank account. I love you more than everything. Oh, it's easy to say it, but mean it before God. Get alone before God and say it. And everything, Lord, I love you more than my property, my car, my position, my house, and even my children. I love you more than everything. Everything is yours, and I will not hold on to anything. It's all yours. That's discipleship. And then faith is, Lord, I'm going to live my life in complete dependence on you for every single thing. I cannot live a holy life. I want to lean upon you to live that holy life. I cannot love everybody as you told me to do, but I can do that if your sap flows into me. I'll be able to love people, and I'll be able to bless them, and I'll be able to share your word with them and encourage them. All I have to do is live helpless and helpless dependence on you. Lord, I thank you. Please fill me with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. So while our heads are bowed in prayer, please ask the Lord to remind you, not just right now, but in all the coming days, of the truths that you heard today, and to remind you, particularly at your time of need, about what particular thing the Holy Spirit wants to remind you of that particular time, where he says, this is the way, walk in it. Heavenly Father, please help us each one. Bless these dear brothers and sisters. They love you. I know they love you. That's why they are sitting here and listening. And I pray that they will experience the peace of God in their heart and the joy of the Lord, and experience rivers of living water flowing out. Commit them to you, Lord. Please, each one, bless them. Everyone who is listening, now and in the coming days, pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, brothers and sisters. Amen. Our God is God. He is good. And we can tell he's good by we're still right here. And remember this. The word that you're hearing tonight, is the Holy Spirit allows to hear. And what we want to make sure that everybody knows is that, and as brothers after this hearing, do your part. Don't try to be like anybody else. Don't try to preach like Brother Zach. I'm not no special teacher, so I make sure. Don't try to teach like me, because the only thing I can do is let the Holy Spirit lead me. Okay, and I want y'all to do the same thing, and he will lead you. What we want to do tonight is to start tonight, saying, Lord, I need you in my life. I need you to take over my life. Search me. There's a part of the, when we say our daily prayers, the part that says, forgive me for trespassing against you, Lord. The two parts, forgive us, Lord, for trespassing against you and your sheep, as we forgive those sheep who trespass against us. We can't ask God to forgive us if we can forgive those who trespass against us. It's like, you know, your debt forgiven and you ain't forgive nobody else's debt. So that's what we're asking the Lord. Lord, forgive us for trespassing against you first, because against you have we sinned, and your sheep, your people, Lord, the people out there that you created. We do sin against them. We either sin against them openly or in our hearts, in our minds, in the way we treat them. When we not treat them, we sin. And we want the Lord to change us from the sinful nature. We're not that way anymore, y'all. We've changed. We're now like Christ. And when you say they're not with us, remember Christ with the Samaritan woman? The one that said, Lord, help me, my daughter's sick. And the Christ said, we don't get the word to the dogs, and just those people are not going to heaven as dogs. They're nothing. But the woman said, with a repentant heart, even the crumbs on the table, the dog eats. So the crumbs, when the person had a repentant heart, God, Jesus seen their repentant heart and said, woman, your children are healed. See, so many times we judge things for its time, but we want to be like Christ. Give them the word, and the word will convict. God, Jesus told her the word, you know, don't give the food of God to dogs. The repentant heart heard that and said, Lord, I'll eat the crumbs that fall on the floor along from you. We want whatever God gives us, y'all. Stop thinking more of ourselves than what we are. We are the most destructive people in turning people from Christ. We who call ourselves Christians. We turn people from Jesus. How do we do it, you say? By the way we act. Things we say, things we do. And we put it on the other side, things we don't say. Things we don't do. Things we don't act the right way. Yo, we are God's, Jesus' ambassadors down here. The Holy Spirit has come. Let him have his way in us. Ask the Holy Spirit, because he's not going to take us over. He's not going to do that. We have to allow him to. God says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. He's in us, but what part of our lives are we not allowing him to have his way in? What part? Because we're angry with somebody? Because we don't like the way somebody voted? We don't like the way somebody looked? Let me say this to you, for y'all can understand. The Bible says, from Noah's three sons, all people walk to earth today are brothers and sisters. They came from Noah's three sons. But Jesus said, we must be born again, because they had a mindset that was not filled with Christ. Their mindset still had the evilness in them. I know the one son, they talked about Ham, who disrespected his father, and then Noah said, you're going to serve the two brothers. But let me tell you like this. Those all three of them, the sinful nation followed through. That's what Christ said like this. He said to everybody, not only the two sons, but to every one of us, we must be born again. Our minds must be renewed into a spiritual time. We have to stop our spiritual adultery with Christ. Christ is waiting on us, and he's right here with us now. The Holy Spirit with us now. So, Father, we're about to wind down the time, so I'm asking you in Jesus' name that you would help us, that you would guide us, that the word we heard tonight wouldn't just go in one ear and not the other ear, but affect us, Lord. That the word that Father in heaven that you sharing with us, Lord, to become part of us like food. That when we eat the food, the Father in heaven gets in nourishing us and gets into our bloodstream and we use it. But if we just put the food in our mouth and don't chew it, it'll rot. So we got to chew the food. We got to digest it and let it go through us and become nourishment to us. Likewise with your word. We got to meditate on that word. We got to let it fill us, got to let it go through us and search us out for those things that's not pleasing to you. Because the waste of food goes out, so does the evilness go out. The same thing. One is spiritual, one is fleshly. But you said in your word, Lord, that the fleshly body that we have is not glory in your presence. So, Father in heaven, I'm asking you, Lord, to help us now to represent you. Let your glory shine, the Father in heaven, all through us, Lord. Change our mouths and our hearts and our ways, dear Father in heaven, that you get the honor, the glory, and the praise. Help us, dear Father in heaven, to represent you in everything we do and say, Lord. There's no one like you, Lord. You have done this marvelous thing. And dear Father in heaven, I just lift you up tonight. I lift you up to Father in heaven for keeping the airways going tonight. I thank you for the word from Brother Zach. And brother, sisters, I let you know now, we all going to have other guests besides the Holy Spirit, myself. Other guests will be attending and sharing the word of God, the gospel. But I say to you, the disciples were ordinary people. They weren't no scholars. Paul was a scholar, and when he went to Bible school, this is because he was a Pharisee. And he had to, when Christ came upon him, he had to go like 3 years in the thing of India, somewhere in the Far East in Asia. We can get that crap off of him. We have to be born again. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. I just read it to you. The Holy Spirit was teaching guidance. Follow me as I follow Christ. So therefore, the Holy Spirit will also identify the throne. So when we see people, follow them as they follow Christ. If they're telling you, let's go gamble, go drink and all that, that's not Christ. Don't follow them. Just because they've been walking with the Lord a long time don't mean that they're going to teach you to drink. Don't do it. When God delivers you, there's a pruning process where you, that's what the Bible says, follow me as I follow Christ. I love each and every one of you. I thank you, Lord, so much for each and every one of you who's listening tonight. And I ask you to next week call in and share the word, the gospel of God is sharing with you. Because somebody want to hear. Somebody want to hear your testimony. They would know that they're not the only ones going through. So until we meet again, may God have all the honor, the glory, and the praise. And do like this. Be like Christ. He said he stayed in prayer with the Father. Good night, everybody. To God be the glory. Good night.